second request. That you're going to do, you can either do on the back side of one of those pages on a sheet of paper. What you're going to do is you're going to draw your body. Now, I don't know about your artistic skills, mine, about the extent of stick figures is where it goes. So we're not looking for a perfect rendition, nor does this mean you draw your face perfectly and then just kind of like a line where your body is. And what I want you to do is draw your body in whatever form you draw it. And on your body, I want you to draw like stars or hearts on the parts that you like and X's on the parts that you don't like. And there's no drawing an X over the whole body. I know where your head is. I have the same one. So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, so I want you to do that. Thank you.
in the back, if you're sitting in the back, there are some empty seats at a table here, if that would be more comfortable for you.
To another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Mm-hmm. Tells us in the AA 12 and 12. All of AA's 12 steps ask us to go contrary to our natural desires. They all deflate our egos. When it comes to ego deflation, a few steps are harder to take than five, but scarcely any step is more necessary to long-time sobriety and peace of mind than this one. AA experience has taught us we cannot live alone with our pressing problems and the character defects which cause or aggravate them. If we have swept the searchlight of step four back and forth over our careers, and it has revealed in stark relief those experiences we'd rather not remember, if we've come to know how wrong thinking and action have hurt us and others, when the need to quit living by ourselves with those tormenting ghosts of yesterday gets more urgent than ever, we have to talk to somebody about them. So what we're going to have you do now is actually break into groups of no more than four so that everyone has an opportunity to share. And we're going to give you about 20 minutes, and we ask that within the group you make sure that everybody has a chance to share. And you can choose which parts, if the inventory you want to share, you want to share your picture, you don't have to share anything you don't want to. But each person needs to share something. So you'll have about 20 minutes to do that with your groups. And then actually, I kind of like, you are going to have a break. And then we'll take a 10-minute break. We'll let you know what about 5 minutes before the 20 minutes is up. Any questions?
When you're listening to a share, please don't make any comments about somebody else's share. Just let everybody have a safe place to tell their truth. Go. Voices of Recovery, page 263. A willingness to change is the essence of step 6. Change is always frightening. Growing and changing is what OA is about. Miracles and spiritual awakenings have come as a result of my slow growth. I know about slow growth. I wanted to live in the insanity of doing the same things over and over, expecting different results. It was too scary to change. Thank God I stayed around until the miracle happened. Step 6 was my guide to a willingness to change. I'm grateful that I became willing to surrender to the process. In the AA 12 and 12, they start out by saying that step 6 is where it is the change from the boys to the men, separates the men from the boys. And when I first read that, I was so confused. Like, what I felt like a fourth step. I thought that probably most people work the first three steps, but to go to the fourth step is like a big deal. But what they were talking about is now what they're doing is asking us to change in present time. So in our fourth step, we wrote about things in the past that we had done, you know, resentments, fears, harms we had done other people, you know, our sexual inventory. That was all then. But now, we want to get rid of our defects of character. And so they were talking about changing that from boys to men, because now what we're doing is we're turning our reliance from our self-will to God's will. So that's the difference. That's the difference. That's what makes boys to men and girls to women. So let's see. The big book says, are we now willing to let God remove from us all things which we admitted are objectionable? And in the OA 12 and 12, it says, being entirely ready means that we are completely willing to recognize and let go of our defective behavior patterns and to let God change us as God's will. We don't set the timetable or method for these changes. When and how our defects are removed is entirely up to God. We might begin to do this by submitting each defect to close scrutiny. Every character defect we have today has been useful to us at some point in our lives, and we need to recognize that fact. So as much as the food helped me, got me through many rough years in my childhood, many of my defects also helped me simply because I had no other way of coping with life. And so if I was, you know, curt and snippy and sarcastic, well, I just had to be, because I couldn't say, you hurt my feelings. I couldn't say, I'm afraid. So I had to have a big mouth and make people cry with my tongue, which I was very proud of. And that's not a way I want to behave today. So, let's see. That's step 6 that we're talking about. We're moving right along here. Step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, and I want to get out the 12 and 12 for this, because this is where we talk about humility. And for our purposes, and for step 7,
I'm not clear on what the defects of character were from the fifth step.
Well, we have a prompt sheet that we're going to pass out, and you can look over your fourth step and see if you see any defects. I mean, I know for me, self-hatred is a big defect of character. Fear, taking out my circumstances on other people. We have a whole big...
Oh, okay.
Not to lie, we have plenty defects to for your left four. Plenty of...
a wide array from which to choose.
Yes, exactly.
AA 12 is called humility.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. So what humility is in step 7, what they talk about is to know and do God's will. So when we look at these defects, like it said, like I just read, we're not saying, all right, well, you know, I don't want to be snotty anymore, so I'm not. You know what? If I could stop myself from compulsive overeating, I would do that too. But I see that if my higher power can grant me abstinence, that's miraculous, because for me that was the one thing that just ran my life. It just ran my life. And so if today I can eat, in moderation. What a strange word for compulsive overeater. Moderation. What does that even mean? You know what? I don't really know. I know that when I'm full, I stop eating. Not even like full, like I can't stand up straight, which I used to do. But today, there's just that little voice, that small, still voice. Anyway, I'm getting on my soapbox about that. Sorry about that. Where is it? Why we need it? Okay. Seldom did we look at character building as something desirable in itself, something we would like to strive for, whether our instinctual needs were met or not. We never thought of making honesty, tolerance, and true love of man and God the daily basis of living. For so long as we were convinced that we could live exclusively by our own individual strength and intelligence, for just that long was a working faith in a higher power impossible. So again, we're just ramming this home. As long as we place self-reliance first, a genuine reliance upon a higher power was out of the question. That basic ingredient of all humility, a desire to seek and do God's will, was missing. So we use God to remove our defects the way we ask God to remove our compulsive eating and our obsession. That is page 72 in the AA 12 and 12. So what I want to say, 76, here, this is, and step 7, this is just my little plug for step 7, is I think my favorite, it's not my favorite, it's a step that I have to read over and over again the most because of the humility factor, because of, you know, trying to do things my way and, you know, just like getting, you know, getting it back in my face tenfold because it just wasn't working then and it's still not working. The 7th step is where we take the change in our attitude which permits us, with humility as our guide, to move out from ourselves toward others and toward God. The whole emphasis on step 7 is on humility. It is really saying to us that we now ought to be willing to try humility in seeking the removal of our other shortcomings, just as we did when we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If that degree of humility could enable us to find the grace by which such a deadly obsession could be banished, then there must be hope of the same result respecting any other problem in the world we could possibly have. And right here we're talking about our obsession with our bodies. I think that's what I wanted to say about that. So here, continuing with that, what I was talking about before in step 6, where every character defect has been useful to us, next we need to recognize that each of these old tools for coping with life has now outlived its usefulness. Only when we fully realize that they are costing us more than they are giving us do we become entirely ready to be rid of our defects of character. So we're going to pass out a list of defects that you can look at. Want to give me one and I can... Oh, you did. Sorry.
What's the OA 12
and 12? 57. Here it is. And I know for me, when I looked at this and I thought, wow, does this mean that I'm just going to be perfect now? Is this really the end of all the bad stuff and I'm just going to be like an angel walking on earth? And I think really what this is about is just really giving up my self-reliance and really turning to a higher power in all my affairs. That's what I think that's about. Some of my defects. So here's the list of defects, and feel free to add your own. Judgment, perfectionism, jealousy, anger, fear, self-centeredness, not good enough. Set myself up for failure, like I'm going to lose a pound a day, and if I don't, forget it. Arrogant, self-pity, irritable, moody, pouty, hard, cynical, critical, impatient, and self-loathing. Those were just a couple of my character defects. I'm sure you have plenty of your own. So what I want you to, the questions here are, you list your defects, and then you write, what is the benefit that you've gotten from this defect, and then what is it costing you? So we've got how much time for that? We have 10 minutes? We have 10 minutes to do that writing. You know, if everybody's not finished with that writing at 10 minutes or whatever time limit, obviously we're very flexible up here.
So you could list
one more time. Yeah. List your defects. Okay. And then look at each defect and ask yourself, what do I get from having this defect? And what is it costing me to have this defect?
Susan, can you help me by maybe taking one yourself and filling in that blank for you?
Sure. Sure.
As an example.
I will. Pouty. I was a pouter. And I used to pout, like if I was a party, if there were a group of people out to lunch, let's say at a table like this, and everybody was talking, and I used to sit and pout to get attention. And instead of just joining in the conversation. So the pouty, it was useful because I got people to notice me. Oh, what's wrong? Are you okay? That kind of thing. I loved it. And today, what that has outlived its usefulness because now I can be one of many. I don't have to get the most attention. I can get the regular amount of attention. And as everybody at the table, I can participate like an adult. And I don't need that. And I just have a better time. Okay? And I also could be more useful to my fellows. Hi. Yeah.
Hi. What was the second half? You said, what do I get?
What is the benefit of your defect, and what has it been costing you?
So, what did the pouty cost you?
It cost me getting to have relationships with people and getting to be a part of.
Thank you.
Sorry? Did somebody just ask a question or were you talking to yourself? Well, what we're talking about now is body image. And so... No, but...
Well, here, I'll give an example for
okay.
me. Okay, self-loathing is one that I'll go into.
Yeah.
There's something like, I don't like something about my body or I can't stand the way I have this flabby stomach thing happening with all the extra skin, okay? And... What I get out of that is there's something that about just being like focused on that, you know, like other things don't seem to work, it's not important. It gives me an excuse to not show up, you know. That's the biggest thing is whenever I'm obsessed about something about my body, it makes me not want to show up, you know, not be there, and then I don't have to risk anything. I don't have to risk letting people in. I don't have to risk letting people see me. Like sometimes what I'll do is not wear clothes that are fitting because I'm afraid somebody's going to think that I'm fat or, you know, and it's like, again, it's like me trying to hide. And that's an old, old behavior of me trying to be invisible and hope that nobody notices or nobody sees me. It takes a lot more energy to actually show up and be present and actually interact with people and ask them how they're doing. Because the reality of it is that I make it all about me when I do that. And when I go into a group of people and I'm at an event or something, they're not interested in me. You know what I mean? God did not put me in that place for me to be focused on me. It was for me to be of service to other people. So that's one of the biggest ways. But it's an easy, like, out to be like, oh, yeah, I just can't go, or this doesn't look right. Or, you know, I used to do that all the time, and I was really happy.
Any other questions? anybody need more time? All right, give me another minute. Okay, we're going to move on here. We're not going to share this part because we're running short on time. So if there's a time after and you want to share that with somebody, please feel free to do it. We're at step 8 now, which is made a list of all persons he had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. In the OA 12 and 12 on page 78, it says, to amend something means to change it. To complete our amends for wrongful actions of the past by changing our actions in the future. This is especially important when making amends to ourselves. Only by permanently changing our harmful attitudes and actions can we make it up to ourselves and our loved ones for hurt in the past. And this is something I really like in Voices of Recovery, although I've changed it. I've taken that artistic freedom and changed it to, well, you'll see what I've done. I made this about us. It says, our purpose in doing step 8 is not to judge others, not to judge myself, but to learn attitudes of mercy and forgiveness. An OA friend mailed me a sand dollar and an essay he had written on perfectionism. His writing helped me let go of this character defect. The essay says, to look at the sand dollar, it's not broken, but it has flaws. It may be stained and have a nicked edge or a small hole. Can you still love it? If you can learn to love your imperfect sand dollar, you are incapable of loving the imperfect world and yourself. You have disappointed yourself, you have hurt yourself, and you've let yourself down by being imperfect. Can you let go of the idea of perfectionism and accept yourself just the way you are? Love yourself, love your imperfect self and your imperfect world. For if you cannot love life the way it is, you will suffer from eternal loneliness. The ability to love yourself is a gift from God that enables you to live fully, bravely, and meaningfully in an imperfect world. I really like that a lot, and certainly perfectionism is one of those things that has dogged me my whole life, and especially relating to how I feel about my body.
What page is that?
What's that?
What page is that?
181.
What's that?
Voices of Recovery. So when you, if you read it, you'll see how I changed it. I, you know, basically made it about me. Any other questions? So what I wanted to say about this is, about step 8, is 8 and 9. This, for me, is the only step where I make amends for my thoughts as well as my actions. I don't have to make amends to another person for my thoughts as long as I don't act out on them. But I make amends to myself for my thoughts because they've been pretty, pretty horrible. So, and I talked about in the beginning, I've harmed myself by just cutting myself off from people, just the self-loathing, the constant self-loathing, the comparisons, constantly, the, you know, self-pity, things like that. So step nine, we're going to move on to step 9, is make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And on page 76 of the OA 12 and 12, here's the goal of this amends process. Our sponsors will probably remind us that the purpose of step 9 is to clear away guilt and ill, so that we may establish better relationships with people whom our lives have touched. In most cases, this will require us to do more than just say, I'm sorry. In making amends, we'll need to acknowledge the specific harm we've done, apologize, make appropriate restitution, and change our behavior. So if I have to make amends to myself, that means I have to treat myself differently. And I'm here to say that is absolutely, absolutely possible to do. Okay. So now what we're going to do, oh, I have a new book to pull out here, page 66. This is about amends. Let him go, page 66 in the for today. Let him go where he will. He can only find so much beauty or worth as he carries. That's from Emerson. I know what geographical cures are. I have taken some. Wherever I went, I ended up the same way, in the despair and degradation of compulsive overeating and the attitudes that go along with it. Today, I am worth enough to give myself the best thought, the best care. I guard my abstinence and my program as though they were my dearest possessions, and they are. Wherever I go, I expect good, beautiful, and worthwhile things, and I find them. I treat myself and others with respect, and I do not react in kind to people who behave badly toward me. My self-worth comes not from others, but from myself, from caring about my own opinion about what I do and say. All that I am and hope to be comes from giving myself the time and the patience, compassion, and understanding to grow. So now, in case you didn't figure this out yet, please write an amends letter to yourself. Regarding how you've treated yourself with regards to your obsession with your body, compulsion. Yeah. Sorry, that was for today, page 66.
And you'll have about 5 minutes to write your letter back. Here, this is hard work, and you notice the room sort of thinned out a bit. You guys are the troopers. You are. It's awesome. I am honored. Yes, thank you. Sorry, I moved you away. Thank you. So step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admit it. In the big book on page 84, it says, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And so in my own experience with a lot of what it's been is I can now catch myself when I start to go down that path of like, I don't like this, or what's the matter with this, or how could I, you know, I don't look right in this, and just that, and I stop in that moment, and I pause, say, okay, God, show me how you see me, you know, help me to focus on the beauty in the other people, because what I have learned is that when I see me that way, that's the same lens through which I see everyone else, and how detrimental is that, you know, that because I'm stuck in my head about what I don't think is right, then all I see is what I don't think is right in other people, and that's really not very fair to them. So, you know, it talks about in AA 12 and 12, it says on page 88, for the wise have always known that no one can make much of this life until self-searching becomes a regular habit, until he's able to admit and accept what he finds, until he patiently and persistently tries to correct what is wrong. You know, I didn't in one day become obsessed with how my body was wrong and bad. It's not going to go away in one day. And given that I only have one day at a time anyways, I only have to worry about being willing and open to see it and do it differently for this day. So one of the things that we're going to ask you to do is based on your amends letter to yourself, we're going to give you an index card. And we'd like each of you to write an affirmation to yourself, something positive about your body. You can be specific, you can be general, whatever, but it just needs to be written in a positive manner. Because as part of that continue to take personal inventory, what you're then going to do is we ask that you put it somewhere where you live, and you're going to say it to yourself for the next 30 days. Mm-hmm. You can say it in front of the mirror, you can not say it in front of the mirror, you can say it naked, you can not say it, whatever. Okay? But after you write the affirmation on the index card, we're going to have you make a verbal commitment to the person that you've been sharing with that you were committing to say it for the next 30 days. Mm-hmm.
Finally, something fun.
Right.
Okay, an affirmation is a positive statement, so it could be, I love my body.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I thank God for my body. I appreciate the strength of my body. Should I keep going?
Yeah.
I find that I say often is, I accept myself just as I am today.
Uh-huh. That's a good one.
Or sometimes I can be specific, like, I like my eyes, and I just focus on that part.
I treat my body well. I like that one, too. And when you're done, just start sharing.
Could God show me how you see me via affirmation?
Sure. No.
Okay.
Could God show me how you see me?
No, it's not an affirmation.
Okay. It's not technically an affirmation. Something I like to say.
Let me see myself the way you see me.
It's an affirmation is a positive statement.
I see myself the way God sees me.
Yeah. That's great.
I see myself the way God sees me.
Yeah. Hmm? They do that here. Oh, great. Oh, yes. They just make the commitment, right? Remember, you're just making your commitment to your partner right now that you're going to read this for 30 days.
Now you're just going to commit to your partner that you'll read it for 30 days. Okay, one thing to note about the affirmation, people have all different kinds of theories, but you know, they say you have to actually believe it before you. In this program, what I've learned to do is ask if. You know, so when I've done a lot of work with affirmations because I had a lot of negative thinking. And so some of the affirmations I started with were things that I was like, whatever. But that consistent practice of saying them, I found that it began to change over time. And so there's something to be said for, even if it's a little bit far-reaching, that, you know, sometimes it's worth it to go there, because that's what you're sort of growing into those words, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to do, what we're going to do is actually do a 1 minute meditation before we do step 11. Did everyone have a chance to make the commitment to each other? Okay. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to turn to the person next to you and say, I commit to reading this for 30 days.
Yes, that's before the letter to God. Oh, we are. Oh, okay, got it. I'm going to talk about it.
Oh, you're going to talk about it.
Yeah, just this.
That's okay.
Everybody done with that? Anybody not done? Okay. Let's move on to step 11. Step 11 says, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the power of His will for us and the power to carry that out. To me, the short version of that is, thy will not mine be done, which kind of you can say anywhere. So the 12 and 12 tells me that prayer is raising my heart to God and just asking to know what God's will is, asking to be of maximum service. And meditation, I think I lost my page on meditation. Meditation, its object is always the same, to improve our conscious contact with God, with His grace, wisdom, and love. One of His first fruits is emotional balance. And then in the OA 12 and 12, and I love this, gives us the much needed practice in the art of sitting still and opening our hearts to receive spiritual nourishment, which I love. What we're going to do now is we'll have a time, 1 minute meditation, and then after that, we're going to ask you to write a letter from God to yourself telling you how God sees you in relation to your body and image. So we're going to have that 1 minute meditation and then take a few minutes to write that letter. Letter from God to you, how God sees you in relation to your body.
have about one more minute.
This is a tool I discovered years ago, and it's my favorite thing to do, just to get in touch with my higher power and get some sense knocked into my head. It's nice.
All right, step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. In the Big Book on page 89, it says that practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from overeating as intensive work with other compulsive overeaters. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other compulsive overeaters. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And in Bill's story, he tells us that if we, on page 14 and 15 in the Big Book, that if we fail to perfect and enlarge our spiritual lives by work and self-sacrifice with others, we will not be able to survive the trouble spots ahead. And, you know, Susan mentioned that this workshop isn't just about, like, you getting right with how you see your body or your perception of who you are and how you show up in the world, but it's also about how we can then take all that time and energy we spend obsessing about what's wrong with us and focus on being of service to others. And this is a reading that I really like. It's from the Voices of Recovery, page 16. It says, those of us who live this program don't simply carry the message, we are the message. Each day that we live well, we are well, and we embody the joy of recovery. And that's from the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 106. When I first walked into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, I was like the candle whose light is flickering and closing to go out. I was sick in mind, body, and spirit. I was hopeless. Many OA members describe OA as the last house on the block. I do not know if that's true, since I don't know where the block ends or begins. I do know that what I found in OA can only be found in the heart and mind of another recovering compulsive overeater. The flickering light that I came in with became stronger, and the hopelessness turned into hopefulness. I can be a living example or a dying example of how the program works. My courage to recover and my experience in OA serve as an example to those who know me. I represent and carry the message of hope. Our thinking and our thoughts are very powerful, and we wear them whether we like it or not. So there are two things in this 12 step that we're going to do here today. One is that we're going to suggest that at the end of those 30 days that you share with someone else your affirmation and encourage them to do the same, because there's no point in doing it if we're going to keep it to ourselves. And then as a closure for this evening, before we do our closing prayer, we're going to have everyone stand up, and you're going to read aloud your affirmation. Now, if you're not comfortable doing it, you can simply say pass. That's fine. But there's a lot of power in hearing each other speak these words. So it's possible to do it in a big circle. Do we think we can do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And then what we'll do is they'll then close with the 7-step prayer once everyone has had a chance to read their affirmation.
So we're making circles?
Yes, let's make a big circle.
How are we going to do that? The best time to acknowledge you guys would be now before the sharing and the prayer, or at the end? After the prayer. Thank you.
What I do
think. Okay. Who would like to begin with their affirmation?
I will.
And then we'll just go around.
Okay.
Do you introduce ourselves too?
No, just say your affirmation, then we'll go from next.
My body is strong, beautiful, and resilient. I love taking care of my body and trust that it will take care of me. Mm-hmm. I see myself the way God sees me.
I love myself no matter what I say or do. Beautiful, beloved child that you are, Charlotte. You are made in the image of God, perfect, whole, and complete. Just as I am, I accept my body. I owe a living amends to my body. I honor, respect, love, and protect my body. I need my body. It carries me through the good times and the bad times.
I treat my body well. I see myself as God sees me.
I honor my body for all that it has brought me through.
I treat my body as I think God would want me to.
I am strong, vibrant, and lovely.
I believe in my beauty.
I treat my body well and my body treats me well.
But I think our flaws are actually endearing.
I like my body and I am beautiful.
I am a beautiful, vivacious woman in a beautiful, vivacious 54-year-old body.
I see myself in my body the way God sees me in my body.
I deserve care and attention.
I love my right buttock just as it is today. I am beautiful and I love my body.
I treat my body well.
I love and accept myself just as I am today. I have courage to grow and live.
I love my body just the way it is.
My body is as beautiful outside as it is on the
inside. I am wonderfully made.
My body is getting healthier and stronger every day.
I love myself, my body, and I protect it from myself.
I look just the way my higher power wants me.
I love my body the way it is.
I have thighs that are just the right size.
Physical being is a safe and welcoming place for the other children.
energy and vitality to take care of my body.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if you can all join him.
This is the seventh step of prayer.
Yeah, we can do this. We can do it.
Well done.
My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength that I go out from here to do them good.
Amen.
Keep coming back. It works if you work it and you're worth it.
Can we thank Holly and Susan? Yeah. For me?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.